Come fly with Global Air Force.
And so he literally threw my mother, 12-year-old girl, into the middle of the Ohio River, and she could not swim. She was just terrified. And then, to even make matters worse, this gentleman decided it would be even funnier if he drove off. And so he drove the motorboat out of sight. So here's my mom stuck in the middle of the river and bobbing up and down, taking in water, and the guy in the boat who should have been protecting her, should have been taking care of her, drove off. And my mom literally thought that she was going to die.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. I'm Jim Rohn. Today, my friend, I have a guest, Harold Overslake. His ministry is inner healing. Do you feel you need an inner healing? I believe we all need some type of inner healing. I don't think anybody's above it. And here's a man that teaches inner healing. Now, some people call that deliverance. Here's our guest, the third part of our series, Harold Overslake. Hi, Harold. How you doing?
Hi, Jim. Doing good. Thank you.
I've been really enjoying your teaching and the things you've been relating to us. It's been very beneficial. And I thank you. The last program, we prayed for those that need an inner healing. This time, could you tell me something, maybe from your family, your own personal experience about inner healing?
I can. Be happy to share a story that's actually concerning my mom. I'll tell you how it come about. I'd been in doing this type of ministry for many years, but one day I received a phone call from my mother. She lives maybe 4 miles or so away from me, and she was having what we just probably call a panic attack. She had fallen a few weeks before and broken her forearm. They had put a cast on it, and Mom called me and said that she needed me to get to her house. She was panicking. She's trying to cut the cast off with a kitchen knife. Now, my mom's a nurse, so it's not like she would normally panic at anything. So I drove down to my mom's, and when I got there, she really was like panicking. It's like, you know, what would you consider, you know, like a panic attack, really? And so as I started talking to her, trying to discover, as we've been talking with your people the last few weeks about how we lose authority in pockets of our life, I was looking for a way that possibly my mom had lost some authority in her life. And what she was dealing with, Jim, was fear, really. I knew that. The panic attacks stem from some form of fear in a life. And so anyway, she was just having this panic attack, and it was very stressful for her. And so I started asking her very simple, basic questions about, you know, Mom, had you ever broke your arm before and that was a real problem and caused some big trauma? And she said no. And I was relating about the cast. I thought, well, maybe she had a bad experience with a cast or something. And she said no. And I was a little bit thrown back by that, even though I've done this for years. And I was trying to just think, well, what is the cause of this? And I asked her this question, Jim. I said, Mom, do you ever remember feeling what you're feeling right now, this panic, this fear?
Mm-hmm.
And she immediately said, yes, I do. I remember a time. And I said, well, tell me about that, Mom. And here's the story that she told me, Jim. She said that when she was a young girl, about 12 years old, she was living in a river town. Her family was pretty poor. They had this friend, though, that was a little more well off, and he had a motorboat. And we're talking back in the 40s. This friend used to take his children and my mother and some other neighborhood children out in the Ohio River just to have fun. And now my mom couldn't swim. They would, you know, of course, put life jackets on all the children, and they had a life jacket on my mother. And when this gentleman got out in the river one day, they'd done this many times, but one day he decided he wanted to have some fun. And so he literally threw my mother, 12-year-old girl, into the middle of the Ohio River. and she could not swim.
She had a life jacket.
She had a life jacket.
Old fashioned.
But
type.
Yeah, Jim, that's the thing. You know, a lot of days when we hear that story, people think, well, what's the big deal about that? But we're talking a 1940 something life jacket. And back then, a person literally, you took in some water. You know, you didn't just stay floated up and your head's always above the water. You know, there can be some pretty good sized waves in the river also. So my mom did some bobbing in there, you know, some up and down. Mm-hmm. She took
it didn't keep her up then.
No,
not really.
Not partially. That's
partially,
correct.
Uh-huh.
Not fully. And there was also some, you know, she took some water in, you know, because of that. So she was just terrified. And then to even make matters worse, this gentleman decided it would be even funnier if he drove off. And so he drove the motorboat out of sight. So here's my mom stuck in the middle of the river and bobbing up and down, taking in water. And the guy in the boat who should have been protecting her, should have been taking care of her, drove off. And my mom literally thought that she was going to die. And of course, I think all of us would have in that situation if we were a 12-year-old child. And so what happened to my mom is fear basically entered into her life. And she then, 50 years later, for whatever reason, I can't explain all the things that happened, why they happened, but 50 years later, when she started thinking about that broken arm and that cast, she started panicking, trying to cut that off. But that stemmed back that the fear that came into her life when she was 12 years old. And Jim, she had a lot of fearful incidents. And this is just one of them that just seemed to make it come to light was when she broke that arm. But what I was able to do, well, let me tell you another little part of that story, Jim. Now, back in the 80s, my mom used to come visit us in Florida, and we lived in Clearwater, Florida, and we had this apartment that had a beautiful grounds, beautiful swimming pool, and my mom used to come down and visit us. And there again, I didn't know any of this process, healing process at that time back in the 80s. So my mom would come down and visit, and she would start to get into that swimming pool, and as soon as her feet would touch the water, I mean literally, she would start to tense up. And then as she got down, you know, in swimming pools like that, in these condos or apartments, there's about two or three steps. As she got down to each step, I mean, you could almost see the terror on her eyes. What I was trying to do is encourage her to keep coming in because I wanted to teach her how to swim. But finding out that was not even possible for her. Now, we didn't know why, because see, I hadn't heard the story I just told you.
Did she forget? Was it blocked out? Did she forget?
No, she remembered the story, Jim, but like mm-hmm. so many people, she didn't relate. She didn't relate that
okay.
to her problem.
Okay.
And, you know, years later is when, you know, this arm breaks and I go down. Now, as I'm hearing her story, I realize why 10 years ago, when you used to come and visit me in Florida, you would panic when you would get in that pool. She realized why she would panic when she got in the pool. And, Jim, I prayed with her maybe 10 or 15 minutes, got her free of that fear. And my mom, since, if you would call my mom today, she would say it's one of the best days of her life.
That quick. This prayer of deliverance worked that quick. 15 minutes.
15 minutes. Once I found out the how the authority was lost, I mean, I knew fear was a problem. Once I found out it was lost back, you know, now in this case, actually it was stolen. My mom didn't do anything wrong in this case, but this gentleman did. So I led my mom in a little simple declaration to take back her authority. We forgave the gentleman. She forgave the gentleman that threw her in the Ohio River, and she got free. And Jim, I mean, I can't tell you that she learned how to swim because she didn't, but I can tell you this: she has taken water aerobics, and she had no fear really of doing that. It changed her life, and she was very grateful that her son learned how to do this. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there would be very grateful if more people in the body of Christ learn how to help others also like this.
I don't think too many really know that. I guess this is part of your job. You're educating people about this. What they need is inner healing. Salvation, in a sense, is not enough. But you just said something about when you lost authority. I know you've said that other programs.
Yeah.
What do you mean when you lose authority in your life? This is an interesting point.
Well, Jim, it's one of the things that we have found is that the reason that the enemy is allowed to come into our lives sometime, we either give authority away, such as you go to a psychic or a seance, or or you sleep with someone you're not married to. Those are ways that we make decisions that we give authority away. And then there are times that authority is stolen from us. You know, keys to our life. I think I said that on the first program. There are keys to our life that the enemy gets, and then he has access to us. Just like if we have a key to a door, we have access to get into that house. If he has a key to our life, he has access to get into our life.
A key to our life.
Yeah, and see what was the key to my mom's life? Well, it was this trauma that happened to her was the key, and fear was the thing that entered. And so in her case, she didn't give away any authority, but she still lost it. So we lead people in this little simple declaration to take back lost authority. You know, we break those bindings, whatever. Like in my mom's case, it was fear. And just tell fear to get out of my mom's life. And it did. And like I said, this was 15, 20 minutes tops. And it's just incredible, the freedom that you see to come. My mom still, you know, if it was possible, and my mom would tell anybody that would ask her how real this was and how much it changed her life. And the only thing, the only regret or the only sad thing about this, Jim, is not what happened, but it's what could have happened. My mom has always been a strong Christian lady, and it's a shame that she had to go 50 years while attending a church and not be able to get free. That's the only thing that she was a little bit frustrated about. She said, mm-hmm. I've been in church all my life, and, why didn't somebody tell me this? Why didn't somebody help me? And we're just finding that people are misinformed, Jim, that mm-hmm. that they think that once you're saved, you don't need help in this area. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, I think sometimes that churches and ministries and pastors don't think to maybe bring someone that has some experience in this area to teach their people, to help their people to get their lives even more freed up and to go from that glory to glory, like we were talking about on one of your programs.
Well, then this panic attack. Now, you could be going to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, and churches do recommend that.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I went to Bible school, I had to take psychology.
Yes.
And, you know, we learned methods for counseling.
Yes.
You didn't do a lot of counseling with your mother. In fact, you know, she knew not a lot about being a Christian.
She did.
She knew a lot. And she was never taught about this inner healing. You're saying 50 years of going to church and never heard this.
No, never heard it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Jim, and Christian counselors, Christian psychologists, psychiatrists, I think are wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're finding when someone has a bondage or a influence, remember I talked about an imprint. You know, we can get a sin forgiven, but sometimes the imprint of the sin is left in our life, and counseling can help with that. But many times, counseling doesn't necessarily remove it. And so in the ministry that we do, God helps to remove that imprint. And, you know, one of my sayings, if you remember, one of my sayings is inner healing or deliverance cannot take the place of discipline. However, but discipline can't take the place of inner healing or deliverance either, Jim. Mm-hmm. So if someone needs, they do need prayer for inner healing, that's what they need. Counseling is not what they need first. What they need is that prayer for inner healing first. And then if you need counseling, follow it up with the counseling. That's what we have seen. And so there again, remember we talked when she got saved, all this bondage, though, and all these things that oppressed her did not go away at salvation.
There probably are young ladies listening to this today. It don't matter whether you're young or old. But, you know, there's someone out there that needs this help today. And I would like to have you pray for this someone out there that's suffered this loss of authority. They've been a victim, you know, and maybe they even blame themselves.
That's right.
But they've lost this authority. Harold, could you pray for this one out there today and any and all out there that need this help?
Yes, I'd be happy to, Jim. And you know, let me say, as you were commenting about that, I've prayed with people, ladies, were maybe 65 years old who were molested or raped when they're 20s. And so it doesn't matter if you're a child and you're listening and this has happened to you, or if you're 65, 70 or 85, it doesn't matter. Because when we're violated like that, when a body is violated, we have these things that affect our lives. And I would love to pray for you if you've been sexually molested. especially in these areas. If you've been sexually molested, or if you've been raped, or any kind of this type of sexual abuse case in any way, I would just like to pray for you. And what I would ask you to think about as we start this prayer, I want you to think about that person that did this thing to you, because in a minute I'm going to ask you to give them a gift that in the natural they don't deserve, and that's your gift of forgiveness. And so I just want you to think of the incident, think of the name, and you full well remember it, I know, because these things we never forget. But today is a day that can be your freedom. A lot of times when we hold up forgiveness for these people who have hurt us dearly, what we don't realize it does, it puts us into bondage. We're trying to bind them up or not forgive them, but they don't even think about us. They don't even care about us. So it's us that are in the bondage because we're holding this. And today can be a day of your freedom. So I just want you, no matter where you're at, or if you're driving in the car, or you're at home listening to this, or wherever you're at, I want you just to pray this prayer with me, even as I pray. I'm going to say some things, and I want you to just even repeat them. And what you will be doing is recovering authority that's been stolen from you because of some kind of abuse case. So now let's just pray. Father, I thank you for every woman and even men that have been molested that are listening to this story right now, listening to this program. And Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that your spirit would flood over their hearts so much so that they are impacted by your presence and know how real you are, and know that what we are saying is true, and that we can help them right now, and they can move into a new aspect with you in their life. They can recover this lost thing that has always held them back. They can recover that authority, break out of that shell, and move forward in the things of God. So if you have been molested in any way, sexually abused in any way, I want you to repeat this after me. In the name of Jesus, I renounce all sexual and spiritual bindings now I just want you to put that person's name in there. Okay, I repeat this: when they abused me, when they molested me, and I take back all authority that I lost because of their abuse. And I now, Father, choose to give them a gift that in the natural they do not deserve. And that gift is my forgiveness. I choose now to forgive. Now just name that person. I forgive them in Jesus' name. And today I release them once and for all. I'm getting this behind me. Today is the day of my freedom. Now that you've repeated that, just let me pray over you real briefly. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I break every binding off of each individual that just prayed that prayer. Every binding that came into their life because of that abuse, I break in the name of Jesus. And I command every bondage that came, every spiritual influence that came as a result of that abuse, I command you to go from the lives of God's people. And I speak freedom over them. I speak freedom over them now. I speak freedom over them now. I bless them. I bless them. And Lord, your word says that who the Son sets free is free indeed. I ask you to help them to accept that freedom and to walk in it in Jesus' name. Lord, fill them with your presence. Every area where there was any void, I ask you to fill with the presence of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Here's our announcer. The gentle power of God. Now, I've been to many great meetings and services and halls and churches, and I've witnessed miracles, blind eyes open, deaf people healed, cancer, people being healed of cancer, people coming out of wheelchairs. I've been involved with great choirs, the music so powerful, and the presence of God so real
that the room would just glow with the presence of God. But one thing we need also the gentle power of God. That's what we need today. And today I have a guest from Open Heaven Ministries, Harold Oberschlake. Now, Harold Oberschlake and his wife Donna have been in ministry many years. About 25 years ago, something happened.
You know, I received this, I just call it importation from the Lord, through the laying on of hands in 1995. And totally foreign to me that, you know, what I saw, what I was a part of, but I've always been pretty open to, I don't have to understand everything. I I'm secure in my walk. So anyway, I just, when they offered prayer, which was three times a day, because there were three services a day, and the prayers were impartation-type prayers. So three times a day, I would go in the back of the building where everybody got prayer, and there might be 1,000 people back in the back receiving ministry. Every day, I had probably at least 100 times people come by, laid hands on me, just prayed a very simple blessing, a very simple impartation-type prayer. And when I came back from that meeting, even though I didn't really feel much of anything, honestly, I mean, I enjoyed the whole week, but I didn't feel any major moves of God. I didn't feel any, you know, what we would, you know, call manifestations of the Spirit on my body or in my body. I didn't really feel that much at all. All of a sudden, I was walking in an anointing, a power, an authority, a presence that I wasn't walking in before I went on the trip. And everybody that knew me could see it. I mean, not only could I see it, or my wife could see it, but everybody could see it. And that was the beginning of a new branch of walk in my Christian life that had launched us forward, served in a pretty good-sized church for many years, and then 2004 started the ministry that we're overseeing now, Open Heaven Ministries.
Open Heaven Ministries. Impartation. What is that?
Impartation to me, everybody's got a little bit different spin on it, but to me, it's just the simple thing of when somebody lays hands on you, prays over you, blesses you, it's like an ability from God to impart to others what God has given you. So you... it's more about presence of God. So the presence of God was being imparted to me that all these, you know, 100 people, when they would lay hands on me, and they prayed very simple prayers, you know, like, I bless you, and, you know, come Holy Spirit, more Lord, really, really simple. One, two, three, four, a word, prayers, blessings, impartation. You know, I don't remember anybody saying, you know, I impart to you, you know, they didn't say that. They just laid hands on everybody, you know, individually, you know, very gently, and blessed the person. Impartation is letting the power of God, letting the anointing of God that you carry flow from your body to another individual. And the more open the individual is to receive from God, because it's really God who does the imparting. I mean, we do the laying on of hands, and we can pray the prayers or just the blessings, but the power of God behind all that, the power of God that we carry, the anointing of God that we carry, is what makes all that really work for our benefit. And then, since then, one of the things that our ministry flows very strongly in is impartation. But it makes sense to me because that's how I received this new launching forward in the kingdom, was from impartation, from all these people laying hands on me in Toronto in 1995. And then we went back several times after that, so we made half a dozen or more trips, and you kind of received a refreshing, infilling, additional hands laid on us over a period of years. And now it's a regular part of our ministry where we actually even have meetings in the greater Cincinnati area, where We worship God anywhere from 2 to 3 hours live worship, and I have a prayer team of people that go to 15 to 20 different churches, you know, but they come to our stuff. We train them, we raise them up, and a lot of those people become part of our prayer team. And then we go around imparting to the people who attend. We just go behind them, lay our hands on their shoulders, and most people are seated when we do that. So we just go behind them, lay our hands on their shoulders. We bless them. We impart what we have to them. If we get a prophetic word, we give it. So we've seen lives just be totally, radically changed, like mine was. And I believe one of the main reasons is because our ministry, one of our primary anointings is impartation. So when we pray impartation prayers over people, it actually does something. So anyway, that's a very simple, I don't know anybody could understand it fully, but we know it's a form of when Peter walked down the street, when his presence, the Bible says his shadow, and it could have been his literal shadow. I think really it was his presence that he carried, his anointing that he carried. That's just my opinion. When you get within a certain proximity of Peter, people got healed. And then people started realizing that, said, oh my gosh, you know, have you noticed when you get close to that guy, you know, your sickness goes away. And they recognize it so much, they started literally bringing people and putting them along the road that he would walk by. That's a form of impartation as well. You know, he probably didn't touch all those people, but he got near all those people. So I think he walked in a really high level of impartation, meaning that what he carried, you know, in God, his anointing, we'll call it, his anointed presence, got close to people, then they got healed. And, you know, Jesus did it all the time, right? He laid hands on people. He prayed over people. So my opinion of and how I see impartation.
There is a presence of God I feel around you, a warm, gentle power around you and your wife. Harold Oberschlake, Open Heaven Ministries.
His ministry is inner healing.
Calls me from flying with Global Air Force.